Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Sri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. And most auspicious and joyful Ganesh Chaturthi greetings to our global listeners. Sai Ram, and welcome to Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I will be hosting this, I will be hosting this segment called Morning Glory on an exceptionally holy and blessed day here in the ashram and all over India. Today is Vinayak Chaturthi, of course, and we pray to our dearest Lord Ganesha or Vinayaka, the remover of all obstacles, to bless each and every single being in the universe with clarity, joy, peace of mind, health, wealth and happiness. And I do hope you enjoyed the very special musical offering saluting Lord G in the voice of Ameya Deshpande of the Sai University. The adorable chorus in Little Voices was from the grade 2 students of the Srimati Ishwaramba School in Prashanthi Nilayam. The wonderful Sindhi Sarangi that you heard was played by Ustad Hussain Khan of the Manganiyar group of Rajasthan. And I must also mention that Sri Ravi Teja was on the flute and Sri Murthy on the sitar. Now this exclusive Ganesh Chaturthi audio special will be available on our website for a free download from the 23rd of this month. As you know, every 23rd leading up to the big 23rd, we are offering something special at the lotus feet. So this will be available in a few days' time, that is in 6 days' time. In the meanwhile, thank you very much for your company on this 17th of September, 2015. The time in the ashram is exactly 48 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Prashanthi Nilayam and the entire village of Puttaparthi is right now in the grip of Ganapati fever or fervor, whatever you wish to call it. All Sai institutions, including various schools, colleges, hospitals, central trust and every single major street in Puttaparthi, be it Chitravati Road, Samadhi Road, Sai Towers Road or any other alleyway, is decorated and lit up and closed to vehicular traffic because Lord G is reigning supreme around here these days. India is a country of such rich tradition, and in Parthi, traders, both Hindu and non-Hindu, are joining hands in the festivities of the Ganapati Puja. Ganesha seems to bind everybody together. And, dear listeners, you can also join our Mandir presentations throughout this period through our live webcast, which will be available on our homepage, radiosai.org. Please note, Radio Sai is one single word. On that Jai Ganesha note, let me give you a rundown of what's hot and what's not in our ashram right now. Well, the weather for one is not hot in the sense that it is cool and pleasant, and the ashram is continuing to enjoy almost ideal weather conditions. The evenings and nighttime is really very pleasant, and what's adding to the blissful ambience of the ashram is this heady mix of regular Vedam chanting, the melodious bhajans, the gentle breeze, the comfortable temperatures, the lush green parks, and happy faces everywhere. Current temperature in the Valley of Divine Peace is a comfortable 25 degrees Celsius with just a hint of humidity. Last night's low was at 23 Celsius and daytime high is barely 29 to 30 degrees Celsius these days. Now, if you have ever stepped into the ashram through the Ganesha gate, you will have to agree with me that a deep sense of peace just seeps into one's soul and bones as soon as we tread upon the holy soil of Prashanthi Nilayam. And somehow, magically, our mind loses its restlessness. And by the way, if I may ask, if you don't mind my asking, when was the last time you came home to Prashanthi Nilayam? Dear sisters and brothers, I pray to Swami that He calls you to your true home, that is Prashanthi, in the very, very near future. If you need a spiritual recharge or just a chance to connect with your God self, there is no better destination on the face of this planet than this oasis of supreme peace. Divine grace somehow just blows in the easy breeze of Puttaparthi Radha Prashanthi Nilayam, which incidentally is being at present ably served by Sevadal volunteers from the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization from the state of Madhya Pradesh in central India. With that, I guess it is now time to announce the inspiring package I've lined up for you on Morning Glory today. If you've ever seen a film on Baba called Pure Love, you, dear listeners, have to listen to today's Radio Sai exclusive interview with Mr. Peter Ray of Australia. After that really short episode of Tryst with Divinity, which reminds me of a quote which I read somewhere, it says, "A wise man once said nothing." So, that's why you know why this conversation is so short. After this, you're going to enjoy my colleague Bishop Rushdie's Learning with Love interview with Dr. Bala of USA. I promise that both of these interviews will give you a mega dose of learning, inspiration, and answers to any questions you have on your mind this morning. Why am I making this tall claim? Well, just stay tuned and you shall find out. By the way, Dr. Bala's interview will conclude right here on Morning next week, as it is a two-part episode. And in between these two interviews, I'm going to melt your heart into a puddle of bliss and longing, because I'm so delighted to play for you yet another latest audio offering at the lotus feet of our Lord Sai from members of Team Radio Sai. This is a Meera Bhajan, "Jo Tum Todo Piya, Main Nahi Todo Re," and it is sung by Sai University's research scholar and our Mandir Bhajan lead, Mr. Ashwat Narayan. Music has been arranged by Anirudh of Radio Sai. So much bliss coming up as soon as I stop talking. So please do me a favor and enjoy the rest of the show. And I mustn't forget to tell you, please, dear brothers and sisters, your feedback is eagerly awaited by email at listener@radiosai.org. Jai Sai Ram, and enjoy the rest of the show. Happy listening. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with individuals from around the globe who share their stories of coming to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba and the transformational impact the association has had upon them. Our guest today is Mr. Peter Ray of Australia. Peter Ray is the former surfer who once chased the waves and captured them with his camera. Once Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba came into Peter Ray's life, he focused his camera lens as well as his inner lens on the truth that Baba stood for. And now it was his turn to create waves with the videos of Sai that he produced. Today, this former surfer has clearly gone beyond surfing on the surface of the ocean to the deep within its depths, where he has discovered the calm and the infinity of creation and its creator. Peter Ray's deep inner sky today reflects in the videos he has produced in Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, including the internationally acclaimed Pure Love, Moments, O Bhagavan, and Living Divinity, He is Here Now. Sai Ram, brother Peter Ray, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Oh, Sai Ram.
Peter, for the last several decades, devotees such as myself, who've been in the Sai fold for a very long time, we grew up on this amazing visual, audio-visual feasts in the form of some films on Baba that have this trance-like quality about them. The mystical, meditative mood that they put you in. And I'm very honored right now to sit across from a person who was behind the camera, behind the editing, behind the production of these amazing films. So first of all, thank you for accepting my invitation. I know you like to stay in the side wings and behind the scenes. You like to be behind the camera. So thank you for coming forward and facing the microphone.
Okay, thank you.
Now, Peter, your work, it's got such depth. It's got so much of thought. It can't just come from your head. Whatever is within your inner sky seems to reflect in the outer work that you do. You have played a great role in the history of Satya Sai Avatar because you have captured some of the finest moments of Swami and his teachings. So what I want to know from you, when you were growing up, what sort of conversations were you surrounded by?
I grew up close to a beach.
In Australia, Sydney?
Yes, and The beach was my playground, and I learned to surf, and that was my sport, hobby, it was my everything. And it got me travelling around the world to all the surfing spots that you can find.
You were very good with the camera, so you were a surfer photographer.
Well, yes. By taking photographs for the surfing magazines, it kept me surfing. So there wasn't not big income, but there was just enough to travel around and keep surfing.
And you were raised in the Christian tradition?
Yeah, more or less.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I understand your first encounter with Baba was in Whitefield in Bangalore.
My first encounter was I was on a ship coming from South Africa to India.
Okay.
It was the last place I wanted to go because I knew there's no surf in India. But somehow or other I found myself on this ship going to India. And one night off the east coast of Africa, everyone used to come out and watch the sunsets because they were just beautiful. And an Indian family were next to me. And, well, cutting it short, she gave me a book about Sai Baba. And I got halfway through the book and knew why I was coming to India.
Do you remember what book it was?
Satcham Shivam Sundaram by Kasturi.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And then you landed in Bangalore?
In Bombay, the ship. Went up to Delhi. We were going to go to Kashmir. I met up with other young people on the boat. But suddenly these urges to find the Sai Baba. So finished up in Whitefield.
That was 41 years ago, I understand.
Yes.
In 1972?
Yep. And I'd wonder what hit me. There was the Lord. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. The moment I laid eyes on him. First time in my life, my hands came together in full humility.
Peter, you see so many people in life. How did you know by just laying your eyes on him that you had this compulsion to fold your hands and recognize the divinity?
The moment I laid eyes on him, my heart started to pound so hard, I couldn't understand why the man next to me and on the other side didn't say, "Is that your heart?" I thought, oh, fancy getting sick in India.
Mm-hmm.
And then this bliss, this indescribable bliss, the tears. At first I was embarrassed trying to, and then I gave up. Then my hands came together. There's the Lord walk. Eventually he came over near the men's side, and when he looked at me and smiled, oh God, I thought I was floating. I couldn't understand why I was sitting on the sand. Then he came up and he just brushed my cheeks. He leaned over, all happy, very happy. Wow. I melted. That was the end of me.
And thus began the divine drama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first film that you made was Pure Love?
Yes. I'd never had a movie camera before.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there and I thought,
what year was it?
No, late 70s.
Late
the
70s.
Thought came.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was still taking nice still
pictures.
Still pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought one year, and he's walking around, I thought, I should have a movie camera. This should be recorded for the world, not just photos for me. And
but then, you didn't have one.
No, I didn't have one. It was just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then one year it came. I was given one.
What do you mean given? Who just walked up to you and gave
the
you?
The Pink Twins. You remember the Pink Twins?
Yes. Moya.
What a lovely couple.
Moya and?
Dorothy.
Dorothy, okay. From Australia.
So we walked into the camera shop.
Period.
And she asked for the best camera they had, movie camera.
In Bangalore?
No, in Australia.
In Australia, okay.
She turned around and said, this is for you. I said, what? She said, Swami said to give this to you. That's where it started. I came over and I filmed every day, twice a day for 3 months. I knew that was the only way to get those beautiful expressions or smiles or little mannerisms. You couldn't just come in, set the camera up and shoot and that's it. So I wanted to make it like, that's my darshan. That's how I see Swami.
There's such finesse in the camera work. You've captured rare moments, the closeness, the speed, everything, slow motion. As I said, it's like a meditation.
Mm.
Did you plan it? Did it happen? Was it spontaneous?
No, it just happened.
It looks like Swami's looking into your lens.
Oh, absolutely. There are times in there where you see the camera, it goes in and out of focus.
Exactly.
Is Swami just playing with me? Because he look and I just get completely blissed out. I got tears in my eyes and I can't tell whether it's in focus or it's out of focus. He knew.
And there are moments when it looks like he's posing for the lens because his eyes are looking sharply into your lens. So
well,
you have
was.
This game going on with him.
Oh, yeah.
It appears.
I used to shoot in different places to make it more interesting rather than the one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no permission in those days, and I used to shoot from outside the wall or wherever I could. And there was a lot of elbowing and stuff from the crowds, but Swami used to come out in the veranda and he'd look around the crowd, and I knew he was looking for me. And then he'd spot me. And then slowly, slowly he'd work his way over and he'd pick someone someone close by to talk to or do something with. So he gave me, you know, heaps of opportunities.
And the shots of his lotus feet walking so daintily, so the camera was placed on the ground?
In a couple of the shots, yeah. It was good to see him almost walk into the camera.
How did you conceive this idea of starting the whole video with this Om and the darkness, and then suddenly his face comes on? It's so dramatic the way pure love begins.
I used to watch him. He'd be sitting up there, and I'd say, in my mind, I'd say, oh, he's not home. He's sitting there looking around, but he's off. He's doing something somewhere. And I could really see it in those shots, so I put it in.
Did Baba ever discuss with you the work you were doing?
No. In a group interview, he said once, oh, this man, very good photographer, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times when I asked about the films, he said, I want you to use the different religions, try to show the different religions. So I did that in two of the films called O Bhagavan and Living Divinity.
Now in O Bhagavan, it's narrated through this little boy's story, and he has these mystical dreams. How did you dream them up?
Well, they were my Swami dreams and experiences. So I included them in the story as if they were the boy's dreams and the boy's experiences and visions.
So you had the dream of Baba appearing, Shirdi Baba, all those dreams?
Yes, yeah.
Did it never confuse you as a person who's raised in the Western culture that you were experiencing so much of mysticism?
No.
It felt natural?
Just natural.
You're an old Indian soul at heart now, aren't you, Peter?
I believe so.
Been here some time long ago, haven't you?
Yes. Western yogi.
Yes, with the ponytail.
Yes. 1976, I first went to Varanasi, very attracted to the place. And the auto driver took me from the train down to the Ghats. And when I went down, it was deja vu. I'd been here before.
Really?
Well, I hadn't. But
no, in some part
I knew where everything was. Years later, the trust people asked me to take an American lady from here to Madras to help her edit a film or something. And after that, she said, oh, we're going for a Bhrigu reading. And I said, no, I'm not really interested. She said, well, we're booked in, we're going.
Like a Nadi reading from
yes,
stage.
Yes, it was Bhrigu. A Nadi reading, yes. Yes. So off we went, and she had hers, and they just took our thumbprint and date of birth. Told us to go for a walk, have breakfast, come back, give them time to do what they
search
do.
It.
She got hers, and they told me my mother's maiden name, my father's name, all these things, conversations with Swami I'd had. And the priest said, you're hesitating. I said, that's wonderful. It's amazing. But I do have a question. Tell me. Is my last birth? Oh, give me 10 more minutes. So he went through his visa. He said, oh, you're Indian. You had ashram in Varanasi on the Ghats.
So you're a yogi with a ponytail in a white man's body.
I must have had a ponytail in my last one.
That is so interesting. And because we are so interested in cinematography here in Radio Sai, and you know, we look up to the work you have done. You've set this gold bar. Your cinematography, you were a still photographer. How did you get there? This is amazing.
I think through Swami's grace and blessings, I always had a good eye, the still camera. And I used to like to consider myself a nature photographer, not people. So I could look at the camera and it'd be good. You know, I'd create the scene. And it was the same with the movie camera. You create the picture and then put Swami in it.
So I can understand your storyboard that you could create it in your head. But your editing, again, is very superior in the choice of music.
The editor, I got that done in Australia. He had so many experiences. I didn't know how to use the editing equipment, so of course he did it all, and I just told him where it all goes. And so many times he'd be doing something, and I'd feel Swami's presence. Her hair would stand up, and we'd get goosebumps. He was just in rapture sometimes.
Even the editor, huh?
Yeah.
And people who have watched it, I recall the exact moment. It was a Sai spiritual retreat in a place called London, Ontario. At the end of the retreat, this was the special treat they had saved for us. And when this video came on, we were all transfixed watching it for the first time. We had never seen anything of this superior quality and such closeness. And as I maintain, it was like we were in a trance watching it. Now, how much of your personal devotion and love for Baba do you pour into your work? Who is your target audience? Is it people who are like-minded like you, or you want to take Baba to just about anybody?
I want to show Swami to the world.
And do you think they will appreciate the passion? Because behind the camera is a man who believes in the divinity of this person.
That's all up to Swami. I'm just the cameraman.
What a nice detached perspective, Peter. Peter, you're such a humble person. I realize it when I talk to you, and I've been trying to convince you to come for this interview. Do you even realize the impact that your work has had on the millions of us and the millions it will have going forward?
Don't want to hear.
Why? Will it spoil your head?
Yes. It's big enough now.
Okay. Now that Bhagwan is no longer in the physical body, how do you direct your passion towards video photography, videography?
As far as I'm concerned, he hasn't gone anywhere.
But what do you shoot? The invisible Baba? You can't do that, right?
No, inside now.
So the camera lens is focused within?
The eyes.
Would you care to elaborate? What do you mean by that?
Well, as much as we miss his physical presence, we all do that, we all miss the physical presence, but he hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, he just hasn't. It doesn't matter if I'm here or in Australia or on a plane, or he's there all the time.
And in this interview as well.
Absolutely.
Very true. That's an experience all of us can resonate also. Going forward, what are your plans, Peter Ray?
Just concentrate on Swami. What else? I don't know how many more years he's given me, but he's given me a duty to do down the line somewhere, so I just have to wait for that the drama to come into play.
I saw in your film, O Bhagwan, how you had traced the spiritual journey of this little boy, and you had brought him to a holy seat of every possible faith group. He goes to a mosque, he goes to a church, he goes to a temple, he goes to a holy river and whatnot, till he reaches the ultimate goal, and he arrives at Satya Sai Baba's lotus feet. Now, Baba's message of unity of faiths and the oneness that is underlying all diversity, how do you see that helping humanity, especially in your country recently? We are recording this interview end of December 2014, and just a week ago there was a horrific incident in a cafe in Sydney where an extremist misrepresenting his faith held an entire cafe hostage and two people died in the siege. Where do you see the relevance of Baba's message that you try to portray, the unity of faiths, in solving the crisis that the world is going through?
I don't think there's much that I could do about it, but I think something in the very, very near future, Swami's going to make a few adjustments.
What kind of adjustments?
There'll be more peace and love in the world. I think we'll see it.
In our lifetime?
Yes.
But to earn that peace and love, how will we get there in your view?
That's up to Swami.
But I'm sure each of us has a role to play. We're all catalysts. We're all his instruments.
Well, I guess it's up to everybody what path they're on. We're lucky. We've got someone taking our hand and showing us the way. But it's up to those people.
What does Sri Satya Sai Baba mean to you?
God, for a better word. He introduces ourselves to ourselves. There's not much difference really in that higher self and ourself, just the mind.
That's your perspective. Now, if a person who's not exposed to Baba asked you, who is Satya Sai Baba? You're carrying a book or you have a picture of Baba on your desk, and someone asked you, who is this? What would you say?
I'd say it's a divine incarnation that is incarnated in India. Again, it's up to them. It's not up to me to tell them about it.
42 years of being with Satya Sai Baba till the moment of recording this interview. How have you transformed, Peter Ray?
Oh, different person. Black and white. I remember I had a dream once. Baba and I were walking along on the side of a cliff, and it went into an abyss. He couldn't see the bottom, and we were laughing and talking, and suddenly Baba tripped and fell over the edge, bouncing, and he fell onto a ledge. Horrified, it's crying. I scrambled down and picked him up and holding him in my arms. He's just a mess, blood. And suddenly he turned to his normal self and smiled. The dream finished. What I interpreted that, he took my fall
and gave you a rebirth.
Exactly.
He's leaving the physical frame. What does it mean to you?
Nothing.
Many of us, for example, were at one level devastated. How did you handle and process that change?
Well, I guess that's the attachment to the body, isn't it?
Exactly, it is.
In one level, I thought, oh, he's gone. But he hasn't gone anywhere. It's just my attachment to the body. So I didn't get into that, and I let it go. Like he wants us to let it go.
Peter, for a person of your deep insights and wisdom, I'd like to ask, what would be your message to people who come seeking Baba in years and decades to come? Because you are a person who has seen him from close quarters with your eye as well as from behind the camera.
I don't know what I'd do. Just to follow the teachings as best you can and believe in them.
Is it easy?
No. I use the expression, it's like walking on the edge of a razor blade.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to step off.
I see.
But in our case, we're lucky. He's pulled us back on.
Yes. Do you find any difference between the teachings of Bhagwan Baba and Jesus Christ?
No, not really. I'm not sure about Jesus' teachings, because he didn't actually write anything. It was written hundreds of years later.
Yes.
But I believe his teachings are no different to the other saints and holy men. If you read all their books, the teachings are the same. Only the religions change, and that's man.
Peter, you're a man of great clarity, and might I add, brevity. I thank you so very much for sharing your very succinct thoughts with our listeners.
Thank you.
So, Peter, I was wondering if I may request you to share with our listeners some of your experiences.
One time, Swami called me in for an interview, and he said, what is your name? I said, Peter, Swami. He said, no. You're Peter the fisherman. You are the fisherman, men, Peter. You are Peter the fisherman. Three times. Six or seven years later, he called me again. And because I was outside filming, I was a bit late running up to the veranda. And I didn't know where he was. And suddenly, I didn't know where to sit. And suddenly, he stepped from behind the veranda, the pillar. And he said, oh, Peter, you sit here. And I sat down and looked at him, and I thought, gee, you got a good memory.
Hey.
One of my friends, Swami, told him he was John the Baptist. Years ago, I met an Italian boy here. Swami told him he was St. Francis of Assisi.
In person, Swami told him?
Yes, yeah.
Well, in the interview?
Yes.
So John the Baptist, St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah.
I can experience the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth dimension all there sitting across from you, Mr. Reid.
I believe you've had quite an extraordinary healing with Satya Sai Baba.
Oh, yes, it was maybe 10 years ago.
So that would be around 2004?
More or less. I can't remember the exact date.
Mm-hmm. In Melbourne, I'm guessing?
In Melbourne, Australia. Mm-hmm. And I was diagnosed with bowel cancer. And because I'd left it a bit late to complain, they put me straight in hospital, and within a day they were operating.
I see. What kind of cancer?
A bowel cancer. Okay. After the operation, they sort of put you into observation where they check you out. When you're alright, they put you in bed where you wake up. As soon as I sort of opened my eyes and realized, oh, it's finished. Oh, so Swami was standing next to the bed. And very slowly, I brought my hands up in reverence. And Swami leaned over and I slowly put my arms around him. And because his ear was close, I whispered in his ear, Swami, please, give me a hug. This is serious business. Well, Swami's put his arms around me. Oh, I just went in absolute ecstasy, bliss, tears, and he was gone.
So when you said he was there next to you, was he there in physical form?
Physical, absolute physical form. When so I put my arms around him, he was solid.
Him.
He was solid.
He was solid, huh?
Not imagination. Then he put his arms around me, and of course, oh, absolute bliss.
And looks like you've had a complete recovery.
I feel 30 years younger. There was no reoccurrence. They did want me to have chemo, and I told them, no, I don't want anything to do with it. So, well, they said there could possibly be a cell running around, so we want to make sure. I said, I don't care. And to me, no. About a month later, I was invited to stay with some friends in the country, and I woke up one morning and I was absolutely wet around the waist, and I thought, oh no, I've wet myself. And I thought, no, that's impossible. So I threw the blankets back, and I was wet. It looked like it poured a jug of water around the navel area to the stomach. It was just water everywhere, mattress, the sheets, everything. And I thought, what happened? And then my mind went back to a story years ago here I heard of a Danish or Swedish girl who'd come out with cancer. And the doctors had given her up. She said, I want to go to India to my guru. Of course, they said, no, it's the last place on earth you should go. She'd not listen. She jumped on a plane and came. She was here for some time, but she could never get a front row. She tried and tried and couldn't ever get a front row. And then she was staying in the sheds, and one night or one morning she woke up and water was pouring out of her nose, just pouring out, and suddenly it stopped, and she thought, it must be Swami. And the next morning she's gone over and she sat again, couldn't get a front row, and she's waiting for Swami to come past, and she's saying in her mind to Swami, Swami, if you heal me, please at least look at me. And as soon as Swami got right opposite her, he turned around, both hands of blessing, it's a big smile. And when she got home, there wasn't a trace of it in the body.
Thank you very much, Peter, for sharing that.
Thank you very much, Swami.
There's such stillness in the studio right now. He's so incisive and clear, and he really reminds me that the truth can best be understood in absolute silence.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Dharam.
Krishna, I'm
प्रीत तोड़ी कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं नहीं तोड़ो रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ू कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ू जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं नहीं तोड़ू रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ू कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ू तुम भय तरो वर मैं भय पतिया तुम भय सरोवर मैं भय मछिया तुम भय गिरीवर मैं भय छारा तुम भय चंदा मैं भय चकोरा जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं नहीं तोड़ू रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ू कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ू
मुरली मनो
कौन संग जोड़ो कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो
मुरली मनोहर मोहन गिरिधर 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 मुरली मनोहर मोहन गिरिधर
मीरा के प्रभु ब्रज के वासी गिरिधर हो Thank you.
Salam dear listeners, and welcome to our series Learning with Love. Today we bring you a conversation with Dr. Ram Sai Bala, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan for several years. Dr. Bala came to Bhagwan in 1964. He had his first darshan during the Shivaratri celebrations. He was 20 years old then, and since then he has always actively engaged himself in the activities of the organization in various capacities. Being musically gifted, Dr. Hislop invited Dr. Bala to be part of the National Committee in United States to encourage and promote English devotional singing. Dr. Bala also served as Regional Devotional Coordinator in USA Region 5 for 2 terms. He has also compiled a Sai Bhajan book which was blessed by Bhagwan and is being used by several Sai centers in the USA. Dr. Bala did his bachelor's in mathematics from the University of Paris and then joined the medical school in Jipmer, Pondicherry in the year 1962. After this, he moved to the US in 1972 and pursued pathology and later on obtained board certification both in the US and Canada. He went on to specialize in blood diseases. In 1991, when the super speciality hospital in Puttaparthi was being set up, Dr. Bala was instrumental in the setting up of the laboratory in the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. He was in Puttaparthi for 6 weeks, helped in the initial setup of this part of the hospital. He still visits Bhagwan Super Speciality Hospital and contributes his time and expertise. Dr. Bala also was the key instrument in organizing the 2009 Parthi pilgrimage, a journey of around 450 devotees from Region 5. The theme of this pilgrimage was I to Thee to Sai. As in November 2014, Dr. Bala continued to serve as a consultant at Holy Cross Hospital in Chicago. He is a resident of the Metro Chicago area and lives with his wife Padmini Bala and his daughter Yamini. Welcome Dr. Ram Sai Bala and a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Professor Venkat Raman tells me that you were one of those fortunate doctors who were there physically present when Bhagwan inaugurated the super speciality hospital, the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of High Medical Sciences in Puttaparthi, way back early 1991. And you have been instrumental in setting up various sections of the laboratory in the hospital. And now, before the interview, as we were talking, you mentioned that you have been drawn to Bhagwan way back in the 60s, 1964. So, really eager to know about what you saw of the hospital in 1991 and, you know, what was your impressions and what are your memories of the hospital's inauguration. But before that, let us first go back to what brought you to Bhagwan. How is it that Bhagwan's magic cast that divine spell on you in 1964. What happened? How is it that you were so drawn to him way back in the 60s?
Sai Ram, I'm so happy to be here and sharing my experience of Swami. He has given it to me with all of you. It was in 1964. I was a medical student. My professor was also an administrative role in the hospital, Jipmer.
Jipmer in Pondicherry.
Jipmer in Pondicherry. Yeah,
Tamil Nadu.
One day he just like that called me, I heard you're singing bhajan yesterday at the temple. Can you come to my home and sing?
So which temple was this?
This was in the campus. We used to have a small Vinayaka temple.
Okay.
So we used to go there at the camp, you know, regularly I used to go and I used to sing some bhajans.
So not Sai bhajans?
Not Sai bhajan.
Okay.
In fact, when he asked me to sing some bhajans, I said, yes, as I heard you singing Rama Krishna bhajan. We have a Sai bhajan at our home every Thursday. You come.
Okay.
Sir, I don't know any Sai bhajan. No, 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 you don't worry. You know Sai or not. I know you don't know. You just come and sing Rama Krishna song. And then slowly I started going. And I really felt very good for two reasons. The discipline they had, my professor, Swam.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, he never behaved like a tough person, which we are used to in the office and the pathology
department. So you saw a different side of him.
Totally different. Unusually, I mean, very welcoming side of him. So I got, I guess, used to and I got the comfort of going to him. And wherever he would go for a bhajan outside the town, I'd say, I'm going on this Saturday, be ready, I'll take you.
Okay.
It's all, no mincing words, he'll just say, you're coming. So I just go, so wherever he went, we went. That's how I got introduced. So 1964, within few months after this experience, he said he was going to Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
And come join us, we are taking a bus. Get inside the bus. No, no, you don't have to pay anything, you just get in, we will take you. So that was my first experience coming to Puttaparthi. It took about 2 days to reach here from Pondicherry. Unusually remote and you know, like in the village, I never ever imagined where somebody like they are saying is here. So anyway, at that time, Swami, people introduced us as volunteers in the medical side. So that's a good thing because we could go anywhere. And I was going wherever Swami was around, but I was more interested in Raja Reddy and Veena Vijaya singing at the time.
So you were always...
I was inclined to... The music was, I think, was a trap, I think Swami used to get me, I used to think. And so it was a very enjoyable trip. At that time, did I have a feeling that Swami is God? No. Really, I thought he must be a holy person and people are making it something about him. Maybe the organization is creating a Swami out of him. Now, this was my impression. So I go back home and I bought few books from Kasturi. I showed it to my dad. My dad is not that easy believer. So he started reading the book more than I read. So one day he said, you know what, I read all these books. Don't ever underestimate Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just an ordinary person, you think. He told me. I mean, there must be some power. He has got an unusual power. You should follow and his guidelines. And that's what counts. You don't need to worry whether he's God or he's not God. That is his business to be God, not to be God. Your thing is just listen to his, you know, guidelines he gives and live your life, you'll have a very good life. This is my father's prompting from his reading. So he never stopped me from going to Swami. So he said, you can, anytime you want, you can go. All the good things he says, learn from it. This is the kind of advice my dad gave me. Since then, I've been so much used to, you know, coming here. So, not very regularly, because once a year, then I went to United States.
Then you were a medical student, so did you make some more visits before you went to the U.S.?
Yeah, a couple of visits, like between 64 and 72, maybe I'd have come 3-4 times.
Okay.
But not very often. But I used to regularly attend, we had a bhajan at our home and very much involved with the Sai activities. Not necessarily a trip, maybe you would have come for another Shivratri, another you know. But we come as a come group and then go something.
So your involvement was restricted only to Sai Bhajans, or you used to participate in other
activities? At that time, mainly Sai Bhajans, yeah.
So you went to your professor's house as well as had Bhajans in your house?
Bhajan home, yes.
Bhajans was always a big puller.
Right. And Swami did mention in one of our interviews, devotional coordinator, this is many years later, very touchy subject, because people can get their jealousy, so you have to be very careful. I was not even an officer, just like that listening, devotional coordinator, even that word hasn't come in. After, as soon as I went back to USA, then they said there is this five officers for each center, president, vice president, devotional coordinator, you know, we used to call Bal because, you know, SSC,
yes.
Sai Spiritual Education Coordinator, you know, this is on the service coordinator. So they kind of said, yeah, you are going to be devotional coordinator. So that's how, and even before the term devotional coordinator came, Bhagavan told me, prompted me, devotional coordinator.
So before you became devotional coordinator,
before
in the
I even
US.
Heard that term coordinator and all that. So later only this, otherwise they used to say, I don't even remember now the name they used to use for devotional coordinators. So Swami said that.
So I you went back, you went to the US in the 70s, early 70s.
72.
And so you started visiting the Sai centers there? Or?
That's right. Wherever I go, I'll sing bhajans, and that's how.
The joy of singing bhajans took you to Sai centers?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And Swami said, it's a great thing, continue to sing namas. But one thing, this is very distinct, I remember. Whatever you do, don't worry about others, like jealousy and all that. That will be there. Whatever you do, think of Swami first. So this is a one sentence. Whatever you do, think of Swami first. And that, you know, stuck into my mind.
So this instruction came from him before he went to the US or in the later years?
In the later years, I think once in a while I come.
Yeah.
And for some reason, every time he would see, he would talk to me or something.
Wow.
So I didn't even know why I'll go. No, you will do that.
So after you went to the US, you kept coming. Whenever right. you came to India, you visited
at least
him.
Once and 2 years, once a year, something like that. Whenever I come, I'll spend some time here.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So that was the time when you said you had a lot of interactions with Swami.
That's true.
And so what are your memories from those visits? Anything that you'd like to share about certain instructions that Swami gave or certain interactions that you've had?
Before the super speciality episode, the first interview said you are confused and you want to know whether to come to India or you want to stay in USA. Why confusion? Everything is going well. Stay there for 5 years and then come.
Which year was this?
This was 1983, December 8th. That's the day I had an interview with Swami.
Wow.
And he took, you know, our children and the whole family over here. And Swami talked to everybody and he said, don't worry, I'll be with you. And you come in 5 years, I'll see you. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what he said. Exactly on that day I was here.
And Swami, after 5 years?
After 5 years. Wow. December 8th, I was here.
Wow.
And thinking that I'm going to come back here for good.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thinking on December 88. So I go to Swami and Swami, you ask me to come in 5 years. Yes, I know. You know, I didn't say anything. At that time, I think he was asking for where is cassette.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was saying that word cassette, I didn't get it. He was saying cassette, something like that. Where is cassette? Something like that. So then he just took it from my pocket and I got it. Then he went. It was just a small bhajan or singing in our home, like my kids and everybody, my sister and everybody. So she made a cassette and to be given to my mother. So the moment he said, you know, he took it and then went in. So I told my mother, you know, my sister made a tape, but we didn't get to give it to you because Swami took it. If Swami has taken, that's so good, even we should be happier. Yes. That's what my mother said. It was a nice experience. At that time, every day I'll be asking Swami, I'll come. So he tells me every day I will ask him, Swami, first day I'm posing a question. The children need a visa, Swami. And I talked to them and they said, if the principal of the school gives a certificate, they'll be here for 10 years, we'll give a 10-year visa. This is what they told me when I was there. At that time I was in New York. So I met the principal, he says, yes, yes, no problem. Swami says, yes, we'll give you a certificate, sir. So when I posed that question, he said, it's a very good school. Children learn so well. Yes, yes. Then he didn't say anything, he didn't answer, he went back. The next day, I thought maybe I didn't explain to Swami. So next day I'm saying, Swami, can I resign my job? Then Kirtan, why you want to resign your job? It's a good job. You're doing good service. Please keep that in mind. You're serving Swami. Please keep that. And continue. So third day I really got confused. He said, come back in 5 years. And here he says, continue, do this, do that. And the third day I said, can we sell our home? He said, no, it's a good home. Keep it. Don't sell. And the next day I ran out of questions I asked him and said, Swami, you asked me to come back. Chahala santosham. We can go tomorrow. So that's one little episode of Swami.
So you had interviews 3 consecutive days.
It's not an interview. Every time he'll come and stand in front of me in the Darshan line.
Okay.
For some reason I always got quite a spark there. And
wonderful.
So
it's really amazing how Bhagavan took that cassette. It's almost like all the bhajan that you were singing are offering to him and he accepted that offering physically.
I didn't even realize that. So it's just a group of bhajans and he takes...
It was almost like all your life you have spent singing bhajans and you have so much love for bhajans. And here the Lord for whom you sing physically accepted that.
Physically accepted it. Absolutely.
It's so amazing.
You should be very grateful to Swami. Yes.
And now he guided you that you should continue to do his work. He said, you are doing my work.
Right.
And I continue to serve in the U.S. So you went back to the U.S.
I went back. And it was during... I used to come again once in a while and we'll take letters, I'll give something, Once my father was very sick, so he called me for an interview. And at that time I told him, Swami, I came... from Chicago, my father is very sick, Swami. Kadu, kadu. Your father was sick, today is okay.
Wow.
So, he was sick for about 10 days with a very high fever.
He was in India.
Here only in India. I took him to Chennai Apollo Hospital. They were not sure what it was, so they were doing many tests. So I said, at least one day I asked my sister to stay there. I'll go to Swami and pray and then come back. This is what my idea was. So the moment I came in, I was called in for an interview. And Swami was saying, you don't worry about your father. I will take care of him. See, where is he? In Apollo Hospital. Yeah, they will do many tests, but they won't know what it is. It is a viral fever. He will be all right. I will give him prasad, go give it to him. Within few days he will be discharged, you can take him home. Exactly what happened.
Fantastic.
I went back and asked the internist, so what did they come up with, do we know? No, fever has come down, but we don't know what's the cause. Then I mentioned to the physician, this is what a holy man in Andhra was telling me in person. I think that's the only thing which makes sense to me is a viral fever. That's what the physician was saying. And my father gradually improved and he was doing well afterwards for many, many years.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this was before the hospital's inauguration?
Before the hospital inauguration.
So now tell us about how you happened to get associated with the hospital.
That's a very good question. Like my professor was always in touch with me. One day he wrote and saying that he's involved with this hospital project and Swami is building a very big hospital and can you kindly come and help me? Mm-hmm. But you need to take about 4 to 6 weeks vacation and can you come over and help me because the newer thing in pathology I'm not, you know, I would like you to come here and help me in person. The moment he said, I didn't want to say no, took 6 weeks vacation, I came here. So, his name is Dr. Balasubramaniam, and also there's another urology doctor, Dr. Butt.
Yes.
And
Dr. H.S. Butt.
H.S. Butt.
And he's almost considered the father of urology.
Do you know him? He's the father of urology.
Yes.
Swami would introduce.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard of Dr. Butt before.
Mm-hmm.
So we all stayed together. So when he came, I came with the impression that I'm here to help. As soon as I was here, I distinctly remember it was a December, November 2nd or so. I was in the 20th row in the, you know, the darshan line. Somewhere he came and stood and just something like that. I wasn't even sure it was me, so with little hesitation I went closer to him. Go inside. So I knew it was me. So I went inside. Then the interview, at that time, the previous day, I was having a lot of heart palpitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never thought, oh my God, am I going to help doctor? Because I myself am sick. So I didn't tell this anybody. I took another tablet of digoxin or something. So I'm thinking I'll be all right next day. That next morning when he called me, inside the interview room, he looked at me. I was sitting just next to him in the interview room. Doctor? I said, yes, Swami. You're a doctor, but you're also a patient.
Oh, my God.
And I know I was having a lot of irregular heartbeat problem. And he looked at me, yes, Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Materialized a small medallion and then gave it to me. Then he said, see, his chief justice from Kashmir, show it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So the materialized medallion goes to him. So he was doing this and then there were a few more people sitting on the side. Somebody wanted, so it goes around the interview room. And here I'm, here my God, I should get it before, you know, it disappears. Something like that. So when I got it finally, then I said, thank you, Swami. Portico means wear. Swami, I will wear it later, Swami. Why? Wear it now. And so I go closer to his ear and said, Swami, I don't have chain, Swami. I'll go to room and then I'll wear this. Don't have chain? Because the same way, materialized the chain. I told him, Swami, you put it for me, Swami. So I gave the medallion back to him. So he took his own time in putting it, everything, and then I put my head on his lap.
Wow.
And then he tied this. Completely normal. Instantaneous. This I never ever felt. Even now, you know, I feel, I get overwhelmed. So generally to correct the heartbeat like that, you need anesthesia, you need a little shock. So it takes about at least 1/2 hour to do this procedure. Instantaneous, it ties this one. I'm completely normal. And I could back and forth walk and without any problem. So then he calls me in the entry room, calls me separately. And he said, so tell me about your doctor. So what can you do? It's a big hospital. Yes, Swami. I'm helping Dr. Balasubramaniam. Now, I want you to take the role. I want you to be in charge. You will be the senior person and you would be helping everybody. What can you do? I said, Swami, I can do blood bank. I can do all the tissue. I can do the cancer diagnosis. Cancer diagnosis later, not now. Then he said, blood checking, Swami, urine test and chemistry, all these things I can do, Swami. Yes. All this is very important. Many big surgeries were going to be done. Superspecialty is a very big hospital. So, are you ready for that? Yes, Swami. Can you do all the work? And yes, Swami. Definitely for you, Swami. At that time, I mentioned about my children. Yes, we will take care of. Okay, at that time, I think earlier I mentioned it was before, actually, all the three questions I asked. At that time, a little later. Anyhow, then he said, don't worry, we have a good school, you can bring children. You can have a good life here, you can help Swami. This is exactly what he was saying. And, and since then, for about 6 weeks, it was such a great time for me because I was there literally with him every time. We'll come to Purnachandra Hall. What did you get today? What is this one? And all the questions he will ask. And so we were trying to slowly, and Dr. Basumim was the one who was helping me. Mrs. Prema Bhatt,
yes,
the wife of Dr. Bhatt, she was in microbiology. She was a microbiologist. She also helped for the microbiology part of the lab. So it was a very good, a wonderful time. As though we are doing something great kind of feeling. But things were not going the way we would want it to go. I thought maybe from USA we are expecting too much. They're building on one side. There's no water. There's so much dirt. It's unbelievable. It was on the 16th or 17th, Dr. Goldstein was asking me, Ram, is everything ready? Because Swami had a big meeting with everybody. He said, Prime Minister Rao is coming and definitely everybody has to be ready by then. So, are you ready? Your lab, everything okay? And I said, sir, we don't have even, Dr. Goldstein, we don't even have a place to put the equipments. There is nothing ready yet. What are you talking? So even if I do something, and something, there's no electricity. All of a sudden there is a current cut. So everything had to be reset. So it's going to be very difficult to do it in few days. Did you talk to Dr. Safaya? Did anybody appraise Dr. Safaya about this? I said, I keep telling him about this, how difficult it's going to be. Safaya says, I don't know what to do, Bala. I'm getting, I think, insane. What am I going to do? But we will leave it to Swami. You know, this is exactly what Dr. Safaya would say. But that didn't give me what we'll leave it to Swami. We have to do, you know, so, but we're not doing much. So, and that's the time, Swami was coming and I said, Swami, I need to speak to you. This was on the 18th or 17th of November. About what? Swami will come and ask, about what? Swami, about super specialty hospital. Okay, you come tomorrow morning and come and meet me at 7:30. I'll be behind in the hall, in the Purnachandra Hall. There is a room for me. You come there. But don't bring anybody. You should come all by yourself. Don't bring anybody. Come alone. Yes, Swami. You come alone and come and see me. I'll talk to you. So the next day, 18th morning, that was. So I went directly where is indicated. And there was some volunteers were there. I explained to them, I'm Dr. Bala, I'm working. And Swami is expecting me here at 8 o'clock. It was 7:50 or so in the morning. So here they made me sit. And just above in the room is talking to many students. What was he talking? He's talking about Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema. Here I'm sitting, oh my God, we are not even ready. Everybody is having such a big tension. Things were not going all right. Here he's talking about Satya. He has so much time to talk about Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema. Why is he chosen this time to talk to them? The electricity guy is crying. The water guy cannot get water. The anesthesiologist cannot put their machine. And Dr. Venugopal was the chief surgeon at that time. He said, Bala, I think you are better ready than we are all. We don't have anything to do now. I don't know how we can do surgery. We'll see. You know, so with that set of mind, I go to Swami. thinking that Swami, we have to stop this because we cannot. So I took some courage to tell him that.
You told him that?
This is exactly what I mean. I'm hearing the boys, happily smiling, laughing, and they were all coming out. Swami also was laughing, patting boys. They were all coming down. So slowly he came down. Come, doctor. Kya samachar? So he comes and sits next to me in the sofa and tell me, you wanted to tell me something. Then he started saying, Swami, you shouldn't get very mad, angry with me, Swami. I didn't use the word mad. I said, you should not get angry with me because what I'm going to say, you may get angry, Swami. No. You tell me whatever you want to tell. Tell Swami. Swami, we are not ready, Swami. Why? Swami, reagents are all expired. We cannot do the testing properly. So I'm trying to generalize the whole thing so that I'm thinking Swami will understand. So why it's not ready? Swami, the reagents are all old. The fridge is not working. So they kept it there. So it is the college boys, very irresponsible. This is what Swami was saying. Swadala Swami, even then there is an electricity cut. It's very hard to get these reagents. If you do a proper job, we need these reagents. And can we get it from Bangalore? Can we send somebody to Hyderabad and get it? Yes, Swami, we'll do all this. I got my technician from Pondicherry for this. And we are all working, Swami. So, what do you say now? Swami, is it possible to do the major surgery later, Swami, instead of doing all on one day? Swami thinks for a minute. See, you gave a you are given a responsibility by Swami, and you are doing your duty. It is your responsibility to come and tell Swami. So otherwise, how will Swami know? This is exactly what he said. I fell into the trap. And he said, okay, Swami, maybe we have to tell him. Maybe they are not telling him properly. So this is a kind of, almost I'm treating him like an ordinary human being. So he said, don't worry. I'm very happy that you came and told me. Now you tell me the suggestion. What can you do? Then he looked at him, Swami, can you do minor surgery, some catheterization and all those? You come and inaugurate and bless the hospital with the Prime Minister when he comes. And then within a week or so, we will get ready, Swami. So good suggestion. So that's why you are the doctors. I am just Swami. You should come and tell us whatever your problem, you should come and tell me. You don't worry about anything. You go back today, tonight. I want you to sleep well. Last few days you never slept. Yes, Swami. So I was really so relieved. Now I know Swami is going to only, but he told me, don't worry, I will talk to Venugopal. If I talk to others, they won't understand. I will talk to Venugopal, and you don't worry, you go to sleep. That's what he was saying on the 18th. So I'm so thrilled. Number one, I'm thinking here, me, Rambala, I talked to, Satya Sai Baba himself to tell him what's the problem. And Swami also listened to me. That kind of, I think, was so proud of myself. So next day, I sat next to Dr. Venugopal. As soon as Swami opened the door, he comes out to the veranda. And Venugopal was sitting. He smiled at me and blessed me. And he asked Venugopal to come in. So I know what he's going to talk to him. So after Venugopal, after a few minutes talking to Swami, comes out from the interview. And those days the interview room was right there inside the mandir. So Swami used to reside upstairs. So he came out, and then Venugopal came out and sat back next to me. And he said, I'll tell you later after Swami finishes the first darshan rounds, then we will go out and talk. I go out and he says, Bala, please come in. Because that day also, I didn't know who the patients are. Even Dr. Venugopal didn't know who the patients is going to be operating. If that is the case, how am I going to, cross match which unit to which patient? I won't know what the group. This is my dilemma at the time. So he said, As soon as he came out and said, you know what he told me? He asked me to do 4 major cases. I was really shocked. 4 major cases? And sir, yes, and he also told me who the patients are. Come with me. It is up to you to make a number for each patient. There won't be any other IDs. You create your own ID. You tell which is A group, who is O group, who is it. I don't worry about any of the other products of the blood. We used to give many sub-products of the whole blood. Just give me the whole blood. Don't worry about the platelets or anything. Just give me the blood. And have enough blood for this year, this one, these 4 patients. Day one, that's all I need. And I hope you can do that. You won't believe it, 24 hours. Worked right and left, and then, you know, everything was ready.
He allowed you to sleep well for that night.
Sleep well on the
evening,
and it made me think that what a great job I have done.
Yes.
Okay, and then the next day it tells, and then we work. And on the 22nd morning, we were finishing on 21st night and coming out. Everything is closed. We cannot even reach the ashram at the time because the Prime Minister is coming, security. So we went around some village and then came back. Slept at around 2 o'clock, got up at 4:30. Now back to the hospital. Be ready. Everything looked like perfect order kind of looking. Where is the dirt? Where is the thing? Students worked day and night. Unbelievable. So the next day when we go, it looks so good. Prime Minister came. We couldn't be there outside when Swami, he was received. But we were inside waiting. And Professor Balasubramanian was behind me, Dr. Gopinathan. So many older professors were behind me and I was in front because he put me in charge. So Swami comes slowly. This is so and so and so on. Then he's kind of introducing to Prime Minister Rao. So he said, 9 o'clock, I get a call from the surgeon, I need for this patient, this many units. 4 cases went very well, without any problem. Everything was perfect. Okay?
Major surgeries.
It made me realize that for the first time, we are not the doers. He is the doer. He pretends as though he is doing, making us do things. He does things. He makes it look like it's a coincidence, but it's a miracle he creates, and he wants to remain anonymous. It's a big lesson I learned from Bhagavan's Leela, actually. So beautiful. It's full of compassion. In one of the days after I've been going back and forth to work, one day he calls me right across the South Indian canteen. There is accommodation office, and between the two places on the street, Swami is walking with few more people. That's how it used to be. Swami was not coming in the car or anything, just walking and few people around him. Then he saw me going, hey, come. So I go quietly stand. This is after, you know, he appointed and I'm working already for the... So, where did you go yesterday? I am totally confused and Swami, hey, you went by rickshaw. Yes, Swami. Where did you go by rickshaw yesterday? Swami, I went to the hostel, Swami, to see the warden. Yes. Why did you go by rickshaw? His question was there. Why did you go by rickshaw? And Swami, it is uphill with the heart problem. Huh? You shouldn't go by rickshaw. You know how many cars Swami has? Swami suddenly gets very mad. You know how many cars Swami has right here? 8 cars. Do I need 8 cars? I didn't say anything. You take one car and you drive. Don't go by rickshaw. He was really like very angry at me. So I had taken a rickshaw to go to the school, to get the list of the donors. That's why I went.
To the hostel.
Not even to the hospital, to the hostel.
Hostel, yeah.
Because there are, you know, the warden said there is a list of donors you want to have.
Yes,
that will be very handy for me. So I will use it, you know, to whom to call, which group. So they were all, everybody was helping me very much, no doubt about that. Here Swami is shouting at me for not going by a rickshaw, and I have so many cars. Then somebody next to, I forget who, I cannot remember now, was saying, Swami, in States it's all left-hand drive, Swami, here it's right-hand drive. He gets so mad at him. What left-hand drive, what right-hand drive? All same drive. You take the car and drive. Go. So after that I couldn't, I didn't know what to say. Slowly I'm going to my room. And it was near the radio side. Thing in that side, our rooms were given, and I go there and I said, "Is Swami saying this thing, and I cannot go by rickshaw. How are we going to? This is much before the, I think it would be about 8th, 10th or 11th, something like that, one of the days. So why, how am I going to do? So I go there to my room. Even before I enter my room, there is a gentleman holding a key. Swami's Maruti car.
Oh.
It will take maybe about maximum 5 minutes from that place behind the round building. So even before that, there is a car waiting for me. So my God. So he hands over the key. Swami, here I'm thinking, Swami, you are so efficient, so prompt, so caring, compassionate. But how am I going to drive this? Because I was not ready to drive any car in India. Somebody comes and touches my shoulder. It was my brother from Pondicherry. No, he comes and he's a very good driver. He said, I took a few weeks. I heard, like, you're going to be here, so I'm going to stay here. I said, oh my God, thank you so much. I gave the key to him. Can you drive Maruti? Oh, sure. Oh, no. Are you kidding? This is Swami's car. Are you making joke of this? No, Swami, give this key. We are supposed to use this car. And the person who gave me the key instructs me, this is only for my use and please not to give it to anybody else. That's the instruction from Swami. I said yes, and I gave the key. And since then, no matter where we go, people be thinking Swami is there in that car. So I used to get unusual, honestly, attention because of that. He really took care of, very good care of me. And even while my confusion was solved somewhat, we are not the doers. He is the doers. And he's trying to give everybody some experience. And I'm not the greatest doctor for him. He uses anybody as an instrument. He teaches a lesson. It's a great lesson I had during the...
The 90th year of Bhagwan Baba's divine advent is here. What are you planning to offer at his lotus feet? How about a gift wrapped in red? If you wish to partner with the Sai Healthcare to save a precious life, please take the time to donate blood at the Sri Satya Sai Super Specialty Hospital whenever you are visiting Puttaparthi. The blood bank is open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Every single day, patients undergo life-saving procedures here, and a pint of blood can make all the difference. Let's build a favorable blood inventory. If you're a healthy adult, please donate. For more information, please visit psg.sssihms.org.in. Blood, it's in you to give. Please donate. Sai Ram.
सी धड़कन तुम्हा सांसों में बसती है तू मेरी माँ नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे नजरों में भी तू है ख्यालों में तू है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे साईं मतलब बतलाया दो न जाना कभी
नजरों में